Next talk will be given by Dr. Herb Chen, the Chair of Surgery at the University of Alabama, considering hyperthyroidism and when is surgery recommended and what is the extent of resection. Dr. Chen.
Eddie, we're having some trouble here.
Nope, we got it right here.
All right.
Good morning, everyone. I've been asked to address just two simple questions. When do you recommend surgery and what do you do? So just a reminder, hyperthyroidism is caused by basically three main things. Graves' disease, which is by far the most common, a toxic multinodular goiter, and a toxic adenoma. And those can all be differentiated by doing a thyroid scan with the results shown here for each of the abnormalities. And really, surgery can be a very effective treatment for every single one of them. So when the important part of treating a patient with hyperthyroidism is that we do a temporizing measure to control their hyperthyroidism with antithyroid medications, and that will make your surgery easier. And then the two definitive therapies are radioactive iodine and surgery. I think surgery is very underutilized, and we have partnered with the Graves' Disease Foundation to really say that thyroid surgery is a frontline treatment for Graves' disease and other hyperthyroidism. And why you should consider operating on potentially all patients with hyperthyroidism are the reasons listed here, and I won't read through all of them, but it is really effective and safe and associated with high patient satisfaction. And the thing to realize is surgery is an immediate fix. And it is the treatment of choice for hyperthyroidism in Europe and Japan. It's really underutilized in the United States and rarely offered as first-line treatment. But I think there has been a resurgence in using surgery. So these are the absolute indications for surgery in a patient with hyperthyroidism. If there's a concern of thyroid malignancy, compressive symptoms from a large goiter, if you have suspicious thyroid nodules or a need to rapidly control the disease, in patients that are pregnant or desire to become pregnant, in children, in patients with Graves' eye disease, surgery is definitely the best alternative. And in patients who are allergic or have poor compliance to antithyroid medications, and clearly patient preference. So what operation do you perform in a patient with hyperthyroidism? For a patient with a toxic adenoma, the operation is a thyroid lobectomy. So, but when you have a patient with either Graves' disease or a toxic multinodular goiter, there is some debate whether or not you should do a total thyroidectomy or a subtotal thyroidectomy, because really, what is the ideal remnant size? If you leave something too big, you're going to get recurrence. Clearly, if you take everything, the patient's going to be hypothyroid. And what are the risks of nerve injury and hypoparathyroidism? So this is a study recently published, and it's consistent with many others in literature. When you compare total thyroidectomy to subtotal thyroidectomy, the recurrence rate is significantly higher with a subtotal thyroidectomy. And essentially, in a lot of series, if you do a total thyroidectomy, the recurrence is zero. And if you look at the risks shown in that, this slide and the subsequent one, there is no difference in complication rate between a subtotal thyroidectomy and a total thyroidectomy. So my treatment of choice for patients with Graves' disease and multinodular goiter is to do a total thyroidectomy. And these can be the traditional way to do them was a low collar incision shown here. I think we've moved to making our incisions a little higher in the neck and much smaller. I typically make my incision right below the cricoid cartilage in a natural skin line shown there. And this is a patient you can do a thyroidectomy through a very small incision, clearly not for a huge goiter, but this is a patient with Graves' disease where you can do it through a small incision as an outpatient procedure. We do our operations as an outpatient procedure. We initially published our protocol in 2012, but it's pretty uncommon for us to admit any patients after a thyroidectomy today. And here is my email and my cell phone if you have any questions about patients with hyperthyroidism. I think that was under 6 minutes.
Herb, thank you. Any questions from the audience? How do you prepare your patients preoperatively?
No, that's a great question. And I do have more slides, but I won't go just on how we do this. But really, partnership with endocrinology, if you can get the patient to be euthyroid before surgery, that reduces, with antithyroid medication, that reduces the vascularity of the thyroid gland, makes your operation easier, makes the anesthesiologist more calm during the operation. However, there are cases which you cannot adequately control patients, or you they have allergies, or you're really pushed. I operated on three patients who had arrests due to severe hyperthyroidism where we needed to get control right away. In those instances, we put them on Lugol solution for a few days and use beta blockade and then go to surgery.
Great. Microphone to the right. All right.
Yes, Vamsi here, Bindi Baylor College of Medicine. Thank you so much, Dr. Chen, for your talk. I was wondering if you could comment on the new transoral approaches for thyroidectomy. Do you have any thoughts on those? Thank you.
Good question. So for those of you who haven't heard, the new and latest way to take out your thyroid is through the mouth, through a transoral technique where you come in front of the teeth, stay subcutaneous, and take the thyroid out that way. Clearly not possible when you have a large goiter. It would be possible in a patient with either an adenoma or Graves' disease, not something that I would certainly advocate just because the increased vascularity of the gland would make it much more difficult. And I think most of the transorals have been focused on small benign lesions. And I don't perform the technique, and I probably will never perform the technique. So I think in most of these cases, just the open incision over the gland is the best choice.
So we should probably get Barry and Abnett and you in the same room and
that's probably
duke
true.
It out.
That would be good.
Oh, sorry, we have another question.
Good morning. Sorry. How do you monitor post-operative hypocalcemia on same-day discharge patients?
Great question. So hypocalcemia is there's a higher rate of that when you treat Graves' disease patients versus just someone with thyroid cancer because you have the bone resorption that happens from the Graves' disease. So preoperatively, we treat patients with calcium, high doses of calcium for a week before surgery. And then after surgery, we use the same protocol to check the state of the parathyroid glands as we do for any patient who's undergoing a total thyroidectomy, as we check a parathyroid hormone level in the recovery room. And we've published the protocol. So if you check a parathyroid level in the recovery room, if it's normal, the parathyroids are fine, and we do not send them home on anything, except if they have Graves' disease, they get calcium for a week. But if they are having a total thyroidectomy for less thyroid cancer, they get nothing because they'll be fine. If the PTH is between 5 and 10, we put them on 0.25 of Rocaltrol plus calcium. If the PTH is undetectable, they get 0.5 BID of Rocaltrol and calcium. And using the protocol, we send those patients home. Readmission and symptoms of hypocalcemia is very, very rare using this protocol. And I'd be glad to share it with you if you'd like. Just send me a text or email.
Thank you.